Welcome to the Vivid Church Podcast. Wherever you're listening from today, it's our hope that this message would help you reflect the light of Jesus' life for all to see.
Amen. God bless you today as you give. And I want to introduce to you our guest speaker today. It is an honor to have friends locally and to have friends globally from other places. And you can engage in conversation and grow. I'm excited to introduce you in a moment to Pastor Chris Palmer, who's the dean of TheosU, hence the free sweatshirts. And he has become what old English would call a fast friend. I like that term, a fast friend. It speaks to the type of friend like fastening, like stuck, but also I think it's just in speed. I've met him recently. We've spent these last few days together. I'm like, oh, man, this is a fast friend. I get on your wavelength. We've enjoyed searching out our city. I'm telling you, it's a pretty great city to show off, and Vancouver's been showing off. But Pastor Chris has also enjoyed some sightseeing. I'm like, you want to do anything? He's like, I want to go to Stanley Park and see some beautiful things. So we have been taking pictures. I've been the Insta husband who's taking pictures of Pastor Chris all over the city. We're doing some things together. But the whole purpose is not just the hangouts. It's this message, which I know is really going to help shape your perspective. And so if you've got some anticipation for that today, would you get up on your feet, put your hands together, and join me in welcoming my friend, Pastor Chris Palmer.
Have a great time. Thank you. All right. All right. Well, thank you for that. You can. Oh, we got. We're officially friends now. This is good. This is good. Gatorade Zero is my sponsor, so we have to make sure my personnel has Gatorade in here. I could be sued here. So, thank you for that. So good to be in Vancouver, Pastor Justin. We had a great time yesterday. He invited me to come in a day early to see the city. I like to just hang out and wander, and I'm a very tourist-given person. I love all the tourist traps. I'm basically a boomer at heart, so I like doing boomer things and seeing all the stuff. I'm the guy that has, like, the suntan lotion on my nose and the high socks and the camera and, you know, the short shorts. So that was me. And so, Justin, thank you for being my Insta husband yesterday. My friends give me grief because they say I run my Instagram like a boomer, and I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. So, you know, I'm not trying to be one of the cool kids, right? So, are you ready to get into the scriptures this morning? Are you ready for it? Okay. I want to invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And as you're turning there, let's go ahead and bless the word in prayer. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to get into Scripture. We thank you, Father, for the presence of your Holy Spirit that is near us this morning. I surrender to you and ask that you would be visible, that I would decrease, and that you would increase. And we invite the presence of your Spirit to lead and guide us as we go to your Word, which is life. It is a lamp unto our path. Illuminate our hearts. Move in the midst of your people. Bring healing, bring encouragement, bring a specific word to uplift the hearts of those that are here. We thank you, and we praise you for it. And if you believe it, why don't you go ahead and say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to read this. It says, but God chose what is the foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is the weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. I want to, title of my sermon this afternoon is The Spirit in Our Story, because when we look at the Christian life for so long, it's been compared to a journey, it's been compared to a story, and a lot of that comes from the book of Acts. If you read through Acts, maybe in a week or in a couple days, you'll notice that the disciples are always in travel, and they're en route, going someplace, they're on a path, they're taking a sea voyage, they're moving left to right. How many remember the old Mario Brothers video games where you could only move left to right? You couldn't go backwards. If you passed up something, no chance getting it, right? That's kind of how it is. We're just kind of moving left to right in this life and can't really go back in time. And we're on this path and we're on this journey. And 1 Corinthians is interesting because It sort of shows how we start the journey, and it's not very endearing, because the Apostle Paul says that we were weak and we were foolish, and it becomes all the more sobering when we find out that this word here, weak or foolish, in the Greek is the word moranos. Now, it doesn't take Greek knowledge to know what that word sounds like. It's where we get our English word moron. And if you take the word from the antiquity and move it forward, it basically means the same thing. It's talking about somebody who is dull, not sharp, and doesn't really have the capacity to make very good decisions. And it was compared in ancient texts to a sluggish animal that moves slowly in the wintertime. And if you're a guy and if you're a meathead, you can understand what this is like. How many women here know that it takes longer sometimes for men to learn? Wives, can I get an amen? We'll go back to one of my more unsuccessful moments in my life. I was in a relationship years ago. It was getting serious. Obviously, you know how that turned out, but it was getting serious. And at the time, I was very used to traveling, just attending to myself, taking airplanes here and there. And when you're not in a relationship, traveling is very simple. You get on the airplane and you land. Hopefully. That's all it takes. When you're in a relationship, it's you text when you get to the airport, you text when you get through security, you call when you're about to take off. And if she knows that there's messaging in the air, you better hop onto that at some point and let her know what state you're flying over. And then you must text when you land and call when you arrive. That's how it goes. Well, I didn't know this. And I was in Brazil, and she told me, when you land, text me. Okay, I got it. So when I landed, I did exactly that. I went through customs and was like, I'll text her like after I get through customs. And I did the unthinkable. Without thinking, I checked in on Facebook. Yeah, I did that before texting. And when I called an hour later, I said, I made it to Miami. And she says, I know. I saw it on Facebook. Why didn't you text me? And me being a moron, and me being a meathead, I said to her, well, you know, I had to get through customs first. And why, like, let's talk about this for a second. Like, why do I, like, have to text you right when I land? Like, what is it in the female playbook that requires this? And she said, I just want to know you're okay. So sweet. And my response was, being very logical, being sluggish, being very foolish, I said, well, you know, if you want to know if I'm okay, just turn the news on, and if you don't see a plane in the water with fire and billows of smoke, you can assume that I'm okay. Now, guys, that makes a lot of sense, that answer, right? It makes sense, but it wasn't long after that that we were both on our, going our own ways. And I told that to my dad, and he looked at me and he said, son, you are a moron. I didn't raise you. And that gives you the essence of the word. It's an individual who is incapable of making their own decisions. And the Apostle Paul is telling the church in Corinth that when God chose us, when he called us to salvation, this is kind of how it was for us in our own lives. And there's no reason for me to have to prove that, to go any further, other than to ask you to look back at your own life before you knew Christ and to see how you were writing your own story, to look at the pages of that story, to maybe reread those. And ask yourself, was it a story that was full of lots of beauty, was there heartache, tragedy? And when you read those pages of your life before Christ, you find perhaps a little bit of regret more, or at least more than you might like. And having pastored for 7 years, I can confidently tell you today that people I've pastored, even myself, before Christ, those pages are full of shame, they're full of regret, most of which has come from the inability and incapacity of me to make good decisions and good choices for myself. But the interesting thing about our God, the three in one, the blessed Trinity, like the song says, is that he doesn't just sit back and allow us to write our own stories. He sort of invites himself. He's like that friend. You ever have a friend that just invites himself over to all sorts of stuff? I'm that friend at this point in my life. What are you guys cooking? Yeah? You got any leftovers? You know, I mope around until people like feed me and stuff. You know, that's just kind of how I get by. He invites himself into our story. Now, we see this in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, Jesus is with his disciples, and he tells his disciples that he is going to go away from them. Now, he's been with them 40 days after his resurrection. Now, he's really going to go. But he promises to send the Holy Spirit, and he does. In Acts chapter 2, we see the empowerment of the Spirit that comes upon the disciples, and in Acts 10, we see it come upon the Gentiles. And so the Spirit has been poured out into the world. And we get to the 16th chapter of Acts, and we're halfway through the story. And Jesus, having promised to be with his disciples, we don't see him in the story at all. Only the outpoured Spirit. So we get to Acts chapter 16, verse 1, and we're at a very crucial point. And I think the way that Luke wants us to read this is to understand that this is a very climactic point. It's like that point in the movie where things matter. What the protagonist does is going to determine how the movie ends. This is not the place you'd get up to refill your Coke or use the bathroom, in other words. You got it? Okay. And so Paul and Timothy are thinking about preaching the gospel in Asia Minor, which is today modern-day Turkey. And the story picks up here, and it says, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So the Holy Spirit is telling them, don't do this. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So here's Paul and Timothy trying to write the pages of this next chapter of their voyage. And every time they pick a city, divine guidance tells them, not that place. And Luke does something fascinating here. As at first he calls this divine guidance the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, in the Greek, Agios Pneuma. But then, second time he mentions this guidance, he calls it the Spirit of Jesus. Now, if you're into literature, this is really important because subtly the author is trying to make a point that I think speaks to you and speaks to me today. In the Greek, this is not going to mean anything to you. I just am trying to flex right now, so just enlighten me, okay? Just go with me. I'm just flexing, okay? I didn't spend all this money on to learn biblical Greek to not use it, okay? It's called the genitive of source. And what this means is that it's saying that the Spirit which comes from Jesus. It's identifying the Holy Spirit as being given to Paul and Timothy by Jesus. So then the question becomes, why does Luke write it this way? Why doesn't he just say the Holy Spirit? Why does he say the Spirit that comes from Jesus? And what I think that Luke is trying to tell us is that at this climactic point in the story, Jesus reappears through the presence of the Holy Spirit. He makes his way back into the story to the third person of the Trinity, which is the Spirit. And that tells me, and that can tell you, that when you're looking for Jesus in your life, amidst the important decisions, discouragement, the trials, and the mystery, the questions that are beyond our understanding about existence and purpose, existential questions that we all ask ourselves. Where is Jesus in all this? The text tells us that Jesus is in our story through the leading of his Holy Spirit. And every time the Holy Spirit and his grace, his mercy, and his care for us leads us divinely, that is the presence of Jesus breaking into our story. Where is Jesus? Leading you through his Spirit. I'll give you an example, a recent example. It's funny when people give examples all the time from 20 years ago. You're like, dude, is God like doing anything now in your life? Right? On June 2nd of this past year, which is 2 days ago, by the way, a long time ago, June 2nd, 2023, 48 hours ago precisely, I woke up and it was my birthday. Thank you. There was about 15 of you there to throw me a surprise birthday party. Now the other of you, I don't know where you were at. Well, how dare you miss it? We had a good time. And I started the day in prayer, and you know, as anybody on their birthday, you are ready to live that day for yourself. Who's gonna text me? Who's not? Who am I gonna cross off the list as not being my friend, right? My friend called me and goes, "Hey mate, I just want to tell you happy birthday." I said, "You know, Rob, you're one of the last people to call me today." And I noticed you didn't say it until so-and-so had posted it, so it really doesn't count. But I will cross your name off the checklist. We can have another year of friendship. And as I was praying, I sensed the Holy Spirit lead me to give money to an orphanage, significantly to an orphanage in Cambodia that I hadn't visited since 2018 and haven't talked to the pastor in 2 or 3 years. And I thought to myself, God, you do know it's my day, right? Why on my day are you asking me to do this? And so it was an impression that stuck with me. Had to pick up a few items. I went to the mall, just briefly. And as I'm going to the mall, I see my bank, and I felt the Spirit leading me, like, there it is, it's right there. All you have to do is go to that bank, ask the guy to hit a few buttons. And I thought, nah, we'll do it when I get back. We're going to do it when I get back. Got out of the mall, headed back to my house, get to the airport, and that same impression came. And I noticed that all I had to do to get there was take 2 left turns, and I thought, 2 left turns? Not just 1, but 2. You know how bad it is to take a left turn? You know what it's like taking 2 left turns? And if you lived in Tennessee, you would understand that's more like 5 left turns, okay? And then when there's that wraparound, oh my gosh, 2 left turns. But I obeyed. Not long after sending that gift, the pastor of the orphanage WhatsApped me and said, "Dear pastor, I cannot believe the timing of this. We had just run out of rice. And my kids' blankets are worn. Can we use some of the money for the blankets?" I thought, man, we'll do whatever you have. I thought to myself, if I hadn't obeyed the leading of the Spirit, what would have happened to those kids? And at that moment, through obeying the Spirit, the page of this chapter of my life was now written with far more beauty. When I get to that chapter of my story, years from now, that page is going to read far more beautifully. It's going to be virtue on it. Because I obeyed the Spirit. And that is a page that is written with Jesus in it. Not a page without Jesus. Because of obeying the leadership of the Spirit. Every time you obey the leading of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is being written into your story. That's why it's so important to pray, because when we pray, the Spirit shows us how we can write Jesus into our story. By doing this and by doing that, Jesus inhabits the pages of our journey. And that's what the Acts story is trying to say. But what happens if I don't obey the Spirit? Well, then your story might be more of a satire than you might hope. Your story could be full of moronic tales of nothingness, where the joke is constantly on you and people are not laughing with you, they're laughing at you. I don't want my story to look like that, and neither does God, and neither does His Spirit. He wants it to read where people look at it and say, what a beautiful, beautiful beginning, middle, and ending. So He takes us, morons and all. Look at your neighbor and say, hidey-ho, moron. I'm going to look at myself, hidey-ho, moron. And he finds us and he says, look it, I know you have a problem. That problem is sin. I know that you're broken. I know that sin has broken. You know, we want to call it everything today, but we don't want to call it sin. Let's call it for what it is. It's sin, separation from God. And when we're separated from God, we do a lot of weird, horrible things. But the Holy Spirit comes and he says, I'm going to help you. And Jesus tells this to his disciples. He tells this to his disciples in John 16, where he says, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all the truth. Now, he's talking about the Spirit that joins us in our story, and he uses a descriptor for the Spirit, and he says it's the Spirit of truth. And the Greek word for guide is the word hodos. Let's all speak Greek today. Say hodos. Look at you guys, learning Greek. Look at this. Amazing. And the word hodos is the Greek word for road. But when you use it for an individual, it becomes an individual who shows you along that road. Today we would call it a tour guide. Somebody who knows the way. Now, let me just sort of, you know, tell you a little bit about my life. I was deeply traumatized throughout my childhood. I needed years of counseling to get to this point because my parents took me to Disney World 17 times. I still don't think my dad knows there are other places in this world, even in this continent, where you can go on vacation. Every year, I know, I sound like a spoiled millennial right now, and that's fair, okay? But Disney World, Disney World, Disney World, Disney World. And it's not like we were rich, so we had to drive from Michigan down 75 South all the way to Orlando, listening to all the same music year after year after year. And my dad is just as OCD as I am, and he had to be early to every park. He had to be the guy that gets on every ride, and we had to stay there until the park closes. 17 times. You know something? I still have nightmares about Pluto showing up in my sleep, holding a butcher's knife. Traumatized. But I will say this. If ministry ever goes south, if this thing that I'm doing, this like speaking thing, doesn't work out, I'm sending an application to Mickey Mouse, and I'm going to be a tour guide at the Magic Kingdom. Now, if you've never been to Disney World, And you said to me, Chris, can you show me around? This is how it's going to go down. Are you ready? We're going to get in the car, 7 a.m. We're going to go to the Polynesian Hotel. We're going to park. It's going to save us a few bucks to park at the Polynesian. We're going to go up the stairs. As soon as we walk in, it's going to smell like coconuts. We're going to get to the monorail. We're going to get on the monorail. And as soon as you get in, a voice is going to say, please stand clear of the doors. And then it's going to speak to you in Spanish. Por favor, mantengo de las puertas. Then it's going to take us to the enchanted magic kingdom. You're going to get off the monorail, and the first thing that you're going to see when you go down the stairs is there's a flower bed shaped like Mickey Mouse smiling at you. Now, that's strategic because someone's got to smile at you before you spend $164 on a ticket on a 90-degree, humid, hot day. You're going to get into the park, and you're going to walk down Main Street. To the left, you're going to see souvenir shops where you spend $17 for one pair of socks. To the right, there's going to be pastries and bagels that cost $50. And you're going to go past Main Street, and you're going to see a statue of Mickey and Walt Disney. Now, you're going to have your first decision of the day here. You're going to either decide to go left, or you're going to decide to go right. If you're with me, we're going left. Why are we going left? Because we used to go left for 17 years. I don't know how to do it the other way. We go left, we get to Adventureland. When we get to Adventureland, we're going to find something called the Jungle Boat Cruise. Now, this ride looks like something straight out of the 60s. Why? Because it is. We're living in a time of AI, where knowledge doubles every 72 days, and yet we're going on the Jungle Boat Cruise, where they have been using the same joke for the last 30 years. I know the jokes, I know the lines, and guess what? I'm going to go on it, and I'm going to like it. Going to get off the Jungle Boat Cruise. We're going to move our way through Adventureland. We're going to see Pirates of the Caribbean. And we're going to go on Pirates of the Caribbean for no other reason other than the fact that we like the way the water smells. Right. At this point, you'll probably get a little thirsty or hungry. So somewhere along the line, you're going to buy a turkey leg. You're going to look at all the other people eating turkey legs. And you're going to wonder, whose idea was it to walk around Disney World with a gigantic turkey leg? That doesn't fit. But you're going to do it because everybody else is doing it. Then we're going to find Splash Mountain. We're going to go on Splash Mountain. We're going to see Tom Sawyer's thing because we're now in Adventureland, or excuse me, we're now in Frontierland where everybody's a cowboy. Then there's going to be the Country Bear Jamboree, which is just a bunch of robot bears looking at you like Cocaine Bear is going to eat you or something. I still have dreams about what happens if those bears get AI and come looking for me. We're going to go to the Hall of Presidents, which the older I get, the more I like that ride. Then we're going to get Tomorrowland. We're going to do Space Mountain. And you know something? When we're done with Tomorrowland, it's going to be about 9 o'clock. We're going to see the Spectral Magic Parade. By the time we leave the park, we're going to be exhausted. And the next day, we're going to get up and do it all over again because that's what you do when you're a Palmer. Why do I know Disney World so well? I've been there. Now it's more like 25 times, but I was there 17 times. And I know all the routes, I know all the restaurants, I know all the places. And this is a guide. And God has sent to you third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who knows your life. He exists outside of time. And when he's telling you to do something, it's not because he lives in ignorance, but he knows what is best for you, and he knows how to put beauty in your story. He's seen the routes. He's seen the way. And when he leads you, the best thing you can do for yourself is to obey. I'll give you an example. When I was 22 years old, I was pastoral care minister at a large church in Detroit, working in inner city Detroit. Now, if you think Hastings is tough, come to Detroit. Let me show you tough. And I was 22, and at that time, I weighed 130 pounds, wringing wet. My waist size was a 28. Those days are gone forever, folks. Now, Nathan thinks I can bring those days back, but the way I am now, they're never coming back. And I remember one time, My friend at the church told me, Chris, listen, you're going to be in some dangerous neighborhoods. Carry a giant Bible and dress like a suit and a tie because they're not going to rough up the minister. And I thought, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? So I used to carry this Bible that weighs 37 pounds and dressed in a suit and tie so they didn't rough me up. 2 years of inner city Detroit, I never had a single problem. Nobody ever tried to hurt me. Then one day, I got a call to an area that never really was perceived by people that lived in Detroit as dangerous. I got to the area, I'm driving along in my car, and I sensed the presence of the Spirit pull up alongside me in my journey, and like Paul and Timothy, forbid me to go on that visit. I got to the parking lot, and it was like a knowing was, don't get out of your car. Now, there was no perceived threat. The visit was just, I had to get out of the car and walk maybe 25 yards. It was a complex, like an apartment complex. But when the Spirit of God is talking to you, you'll know because it's ecstatic. It's joyful. It's exciting. It's peaceful. The best way I can put it, it's holy and it's right. It's right. You know. Like, I know this shirt is black. I'm right in saying that. So I thought, okay, well, I got to stay in this car. And I remember saying to the Spirit, okay, you tell me when I can get out of here. And I went on my phone and I started playing a little game. Clash of Clans. It's time to get some Clash of Clans in right now. Battle Royale. Let's get this going on. Who's online right now? Let's see. Actually, this was before iPhone, so it was more like Bubble Pop or something like that. Candy Crush. Let's see if my mom's on right now. I'll play with her. Or what's that? Farmville. My mom used to play Farmville. Anyway, okay. My dad used to get mad at my mom because my mom used to spend so much money on Farmville tokens. Welcome to the Palmer family. Suddenly, something hit my car like a, just shook it, and it felt like my teeth were rattling. Look, there are three guys headed towards my vehicle, and they look like they didn't want to be my friend. I didn't need a word from God at that point. I was out of there. I got to the church, looked at the side of the car, which was all dented in, and there was a orange residue on it. They'd thrown a brick at me. Needless to ask, quite thankful. 2 weeks later, a woman comes to the church after a Wednesday night service, and she says to me, Minister Palmer, can you pray for my son? I said, of course. What happened? She said, my son was beat up by three individuals so terribly that they cracked his skull open on the pavement and left him for dead, and now he's on life support in the hospital. I said, sister, where did this happen? Detroit's a big place. The exact neighborhood, the exact parking lot that I was in 2 weeks ago. I'm not trying to account for his individual situation, but all I can explain is I did not know about that neighborhood. I did not know that there was a threat. The only thing I knew is that in that moment, through the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, Jesus entered my story and led me out of that so that this page of my life didn't have to be filled with unnecessary tragedy. You have the decision in your life. Do you try to write your own story, or do you allow the Holy Spirit, who is inviting himself into your story and has the right to, because he's the creator and he's the tour guide, and he's saying, let me enter this story. And all it takes is you to say, yes, be a part of this, because with you, it's going to be way better. And when you say, Holy Spirit, trust you as the guide And guess what? Your story is going to be a whole lot better. So is mine. And so is ours. Joel, if I could have you come up on the keys. Joel's my buddy. We were hanging last night talking all things theology. I love it. You know, just shooting the breeze. Good brothers right here. Fast friends, as we say. He's going to give me some landing music in case I crash this ending. You know what I'm saying? I'm bringing it nice and smooth right here. If you could, go to Romans chapter 8, last scripture before we're done. Romans chapter 8, this is Paul. He's talking to the church, and he says to them, "For as many as are led, say that with me, say led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God." Now, how many of you listen to, like, music that's like top 50, top 40, top 30? Come on, all the unsanctified people say you listen to pop music. Have you ever heard a pop song that pop song is like they took an old song and made it a new song? You know what I'm saying? Like, wait a second, you didn't come up with this jam. Somebody else did. I remember back in the day, like 1997, I was in seventh grade, and like Puff Daddy. You guys listen to Puff Daddy? Before he was Diddy, before he was P. Diddy, he was Puff Daddy. And he had this song, "Every Breath You Take, Every Move You Make, Every Single, I'll Be Watching You." He wrote it to Notorious B.I.G. when he died. And I remember I was like jamming to it, like I was super cool and a nerd in junior high. And my dad heard the song. He goes, "Well, what song is this?" And I go, "This is Puff Daddy." He goes, "No, this is Sting." I said, "No, it's Puff Daddy." I said, "No, this is Sting." And he's like, "You guys need to get your own music. Tell Puff Daddy to write his own songs. Get his own beats." But it's cool because you took an old beat and you made it into something new, but it still keeps the old, right? And this is, welcome to the New Testament. This is all the New Testament writers are really doing. They're taking Old Testament verses and they're bringing them over into the new in light of Jesus. And they're showing like what this verse means now that we have the work of Jesus and the recreation of the Spirit. And when Paul says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God," he's referring to Isaiah chapter 63, in which the prophet Isaiah is talking about the Exodus. And look at what he says. "Then he remembered the days of old of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put them in the midst of them? His Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the depths. Like a horse in the desert, they did not stumble. Like livestock that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest." Now look at this. "So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name." When Paul borrows this, like P. Diddy borrowed Sting's music, there's hints of the Exodus in here, that the church, the people of God, are on their own Exodus, moving through the story, facing persecution, facing suffering, facing mystery and unknown and trials and existential questions that we cannot answer. But we do know this, that when the Spirit is involved, he's leading us through this life. And just like he brought Israel into the promised land, he's bringing the church into the inherited promise of the people of God. And that applies to you as well, that there's a holy and there's a sacred calling on your life. You've been through difficulty, you've been through tragedy, but you're here in this moment and you're here in this room because there is a sacred call on your life. You've been disappointed. You've had questions. You've been angry at God. You've cursed God. In fact, there's some of you in this room who have screamed at God. But guess what? The Holy Spirit has brought you to this church on this Sunday morning, to this noon service, because even when you try to say, "I'm not letting you lead me," he's still leading you. And his mercy and his grace. And that is why you are here. And that is why there is hope. And the word "led" is an agricultural word. It's the word "ago." And actually, a longer version of this word is the verbal form of this word. It's agonizo. It sounds similar to us because it is. It's where we get the word "agonize." And the reason is because agonizo referred to a farmer who had livestock, and he would lead that livestock. And when he would lead the livestock, he would put a rope around the cattle's neck, and he would lead it. And sometimes the cattle didn't want to follow. So leading of the Spirit sometimes looks like that. The Holy Spirit says, come on. And you want to be stubborn because we're meatheads. We're moranos. We don't have the capacity to lead ourselves. But like a good shepherd, he's patient. Come on. Come on, it's okay. You can trust me. You can trust me. But it doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense. Just trust me. He's leading you to start a business, to end a relationship, to get in a relationship, to start a friendship, to not start a friendship, to whatever he's leading you to do, trust the Holy Spirit because he is the tour guide. You know something I have discovered that if I want to find Jesus in my life, never forget this. If you want to find Jesus in your life, you have to say yes to the Holy Spirit. If you want to find Jesus in the story, you have to say yes to how the Spirit is leading you. One more example, and then I'm done. In 2013, I felt led, agonizo, against my own will, but not forced, to go back to school and study biblical Greek. Now, that is the most lame thing on the planet. You have to be a total nerd to want to do that. And it was going to cost a lot of money, and it was going to take me 5 years. And I found one of the exegetical programs, and I got back into it. Try explaining that to your family when they're Italian, okay? We're business people. We like start restaurants and pizza places, and then you have a guy who wants to go do biblical Greek. What, was there a mix-up at the hospital? I remember my dad's like, what is this Greek? I mean, it's just whatever. We laugh about it now. I was getting done with that. 5 years later, 2018, the last day of class when I was doing my final presentation, I'm in the copy room, and I see one of the professors who was my mentor at that time, and he says, I think you should do a PhD, and something shot through me. It was like the voice of God was speaking through him, and I knew in that moment I had to do it. A PhD, I just got done paying off like a $30,000 school bill. Now I gotta go back? I prayed on it, and within days, I sensed I need to do a PhD, I need to do it in the UK, and I need to study suffering in the book of Revelation. I knew it. Now, I went on a trip with my dad. Coming home, I told him this, and he looked at me like, what in the world is in the water that my son is drinking? Suffering and the book of Revelation, those are two things you don't hear preached every day. And he said to me, why don't you do something that people would want to hear about on a Sunday morning? You don't get invites to a church by preaching on suffering in the book of Revelation. Right? I'm going to preach on the book of Revelation. Oh boy, here we go. The Antichrist is this. The Antichrist is that. The mark of the beast. And suffering. Who wants to hear about suffering? Talk about being a Debbie Downer. But I began to pursue it. And I started the process studying theodicy, suffering, in the book of Revelation. Unbeknownst to me, in 2020, overnight, suffering in the book of Revelation would come into vogue all of a sudden. Everybody had questions on Revelation, and everybody wanted to know about suffering. Who do you think they wanted to ask? Which basically is why I'm here today. I'm joking. I'm just joking. Then, 2020, someone said to me, if the church needed anything, what do you think it needed? I said, I think we need a theological think tank that makes seminary cheap, that makes thinking available, that has a model that reaches the conversations that are taking place on the internet. And to me, it didn't exist. And then one day in my kitchen, there's a guy driving in with his roof down with an animal print bucket hat on, talking about theology, in Palm Desert. And we connected. And his heart was the same, building the exact same model. And there was a need for someone who had been through the course of education to run the seminary. A process that was started almost 10 years prior to that, because the Holy Spirit had been there 17 times. He knew the path. He knew the way. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is not leading you just in the short game for the decisions today. He's leading you in the long game for the decisions tomorrow. He's not just preparing you for today. He's preparing you for tomorrow. In your life, sometimes he starts, listen, he starts writing chapter 20 when you're only in chapter 7. And when you obey him, like, why are you doing this, God? Like, why are you helping me here? Like, I don't see it, because you're reading chapter 7 and he is writing chapter 32. And when you can't find him just because you haven't been to the future, the Holy Spirit calls you from the future to the future through his Spirit. So I say all that to say, even in your agony, say yes to him. When you say yes to the Spirit, Jesus becomes part of your story, whether on this chapter or in the chapters to come. Let's stand to our feet. Let's lift our hands to heaven. I want to just pray a blessing over you, and then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Justin. Let me pray a blessing over you. Precious Father, we come to you in Jesus' name through the power of your Holy Spirit, the three in one, the blessed Trinity, asking you to bless this church as a corporate body, to lead this congregation into the place that you have them as they exodus through the wilderness, and every individual, lead them in their personal choices, their personal decisions, and their personal matters. May we say yes to you, no matter the cost. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And if you believe that, say amen.
Amen. Can we thank Pastor Chris for that great message today?
We hope that you enjoyed this edition of the Vivid Church podcast. For more information about Vivid Church, check out our website at www.vivid.church or look us up on Instagram at vivid.church. Have the best day.